Okay, so we've come to the last message from the book of Hebrews, and we ask ourselves, what is the best way to end this book? What is the best way to finish this book? And in Hebrews 13:20, the writer in the book of Hebrews chose to end it with a prayer. Now, we call this a benediction. What is a benediction? A benediction is a prayer of blessing. So, I don't know if you've heard before, some of these songs, they have a Benedictus and so on. Yeah, they are songs of blessing. Okay, so a benediction is a prayer of blessing. But let me ask a question, right? Why do we pray? Okay, why do we pray? That's something we want to really think about as we commence today. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord for His grace. Our Father, we come to You, and as we come to the end of our series of messages from the book of Hebrews, we ask that You will speak to our hearts concerning the place of prayer. We ask that You will teach us Your truth as we take the time now to study. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. And we've got to ask ourselves, why prayer? Okay, and that was a question that I asked myself very much as I studied this text. Why end with prayer? Okay, and just like to share with you, why do we pray? Okay, and straight away, what comes to mind is this humble recognition. Okay, as Gabriel mentioned just now, if you look at the book of Hebrews from chapter 1 all the way down, you're going to see the word therefore, or let us. Okay, and these are all challenges, things that we were meant to put into practice over the last 2 years. Therefore, all the way down, you have the therefore. Let me ask you, well, how many of us have put those, any one of the therefore, any one of them, how many of you can say I put one of them into practice? Even one. Hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard even for us. I mean, it's hard. You know? Why pray? Because we recognize. In humility, we recognize, Lord, we really could have done better. Lord, look at all the weaknesses that are still present in our lives. Look at all the sin that is still there. Look at all the problems that are not resolved. Look at the many things that we said we would do, but we did not do. And we begin to realize we have a long way to go. And the race of faith is just beginning. It doesn't end when the book of Hebrews ends. It just begins. It's just the beginning for us. And I find myself drawn to prayer. It's a way of saying that we need God. It's a way of telling the Lord, Lord, I'm so conscious of Your grace, of Your mercy in my life. And it's a way of seeking the Lord's blessings, without which nothing much is going to happen. You know, sometimes as we come to the end of it, why pray? And I hope that you too would find yourself drawn to prayer. Not because we are suddenly, wow, so close to God. No, but simply because we realize we need God in our lives. And we begin to realize so many things in our lives. There's so many areas of need, so many areas of lack. And we need the Lord. One, it's a humble recognition. But let's not stop there. Two, it's our faith. It is the faith in a God who will hear prayer. And we pray because here is a God whom we know, and our faith tells us that He's going to hear. He's going to hear the prayers that we make to Him, and He's going to answer them. You know, as we come to the end, I thought this is the best way to end the book of Hebrews. On a note of prayer. One, because I recognize myself. Right? What is there to hide from the Lord? Like the psalmist says, right? I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 32. Right? On one hand, we humbly recognize that. But on the other, here is my faith. Here is my confidence for the future, for next year, for the years ahead of me, for the long road of the long race of faith that is ahead of us. There's my faith. The humility to understand and recognize all that is not right, but that faith to say, wow, I will pray, I must pray, I'm drawn to prayer, I'm driven to prayer. And that's what this text is all about. Okay, and even as we begin, you know, I hope that at the end of it all, you would say, you know, praying is something I must do. Because there is a God. There is a God who's going to hear my prayer. Okay? And what is it that prayer really, really, really consists of? Okay? What is it that prayer really is? And first, it's really about who God is. Not about who you are. Not about anything else. Not about even how well you're able to pray. But it's about who God is. Okay, we read in verse 20. Now may the God of peace, okay, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Now may the God of peace. And even as we think about who God is, do you know He's a God of peace? Can God be angry with us? Cannot. Can God be angry with us? The answer is yes. Hebrews 3 tells us, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That was the judgment that God gave to the people of Israel. Wrath and peace. All those problems there, identified. Unbelief as the overall. But you have going astray in the heart. You have hardness of heart. You have rebellion, you have so on and so forth. All those things, do they apply? Are they part of us too? Any one of them part of us too? And if so, can God be angry? And the answer is yes. He can be angry. But He is not. He's a God of peace. And He is at peace with us. You know, in spite of all those sins, in spite of the weaknesses, in spite of the promises that we made to the Lord and we did not do it, in spite of all that, the Lord is at peace with us. And on this basis we pray. In this understanding we pray. The Lord is at peace with us. Romans 5 tells us, we have a God, but justified by faith, we have peace with God. Okay, and here is a God who is at peace with us. And understanding this makes us even more, you know, we want to pray. We're even more drawn to prayer. We're even more drawn to this God because we have a God of peace. I like this next part of it. Who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. And sometimes you wonder, what is this phrase all about? Sometimes you see this phrase from time to time, right? You see this phrase. God who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Or sometimes it's expressed in other ways. This is the God that, again, brought up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. What is this all about? Okay, and this is that God is a God of power. Our God is a God of power. This is an expression of power. But just looking at this, like, it's a bit difficult. So I think let's turn to Ephesians 1 verse 19. And we'll begin to understand what this power is all about. What is this power that is being expressed here? Ephesians 1 19. Okay. And we read verse 19. And what... Okay, not there yet. Okay, good. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Okay, and this expression here is, this is greatness. This is exceeding greatness. It's beyond greatness. There's this kind of power, okay? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead. Can you see that? So this expression here of who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, essentially is a reference to the power of God. Here is a God of peace. He's at peace with us. Here is a God of power. And there is tremendous power that the Lord offers to us. Exceedingly great power towards us who believe. That power will work in you. That is what he's saying here. Can you see that? Here is a God. This is who he is. Without understanding who God is, on what basis do we pray? So we understand that this is who God is. And I'm conscious now, he's a God of peace. And I'm conscious this is a God of tremendous power. Exceedingly great power. What kind of power precisely? What kind? According to the mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead. That kind of power. According to that, the Lord will work in your life. This is the kind of power we're talking about. And this is the God we're talking about as we pray. You know, at the end of it all, what is it that matters most? Me? Us? What is it that matters most? It is who God is. He's a God of peace. He's at peace with us. He's a God of tremendous power, which is at work in you. And then we move on in thought. Okay, we go back to Hebrews 13. Okay. It's not just about who God is. It's about what God can do. And I like that very, very, very much. Okay, we read in verse 20, may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, okay, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, now this is what the Lord can do in our lives, make you complete. Do you see this word complete? I really like this idea here. Okay, make you complete. What is that all about? Okay, in Mark 1:19, there are different words for the word complete. Okay? And this particular word has this idea of repairing and mending. So in Mark 1:19, okay, why don't we turn to it? It'll be easier to understand it like that. Mark 1:19. Okay, just hold Hebrews and then turn to Mark 1:19. Okay. And we read there. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, okay, and John, his brother. Okay, verse 19. Who also were in the boat mending their nets. Can you see that word mending? That's the same word. It's funny, right? Complete and mending. Make you complete, mending. But it's the same word. So essentially the idea here is, what does the Lord say when, what does it mean when he says the Lord will make you complete? You see, fishing nets need to be mended, correct? I was in my grandfather's house and he showed me his old fishing net, like the old, like throw kind with weights and things like that. It's old, it's really old. And on the, you know, you just look at it like that, it looks okay. But if you look close enough, you see these holes in the nets, these little holes. Holes and things that just not right. Things sticking out in the wrong place. Some parts of it is entangled. That's a fishing net. It has to be mended. See, our lives in the same way are like that too. Make you complete. Why? Because you're not complete. Because of the precise fact that there are things in our lives that need to be changed, that need to be restored, mended. It's like a fishing net. It's like, imagine your life as a fishing net. I don't know how you imagine that. But imagine your life, you know, as a fishing net. And guess what? There's holes all over the place. It's not so good, not so effective. There are parts sticking out. Maybe there's parts that are tangled. Some parts of it is just, you know, sticking out wrongly. You know, poke the fish. And it's not working so well. A fishing net is just not working so well. That's our lives, isn't it? Right? Even as we look back, we talk about all those weaknesses, that's our life. Right there. Make you complete. You know what God will do? This is what the Lord will do. He's going to take your life. He's going to take away all the problem areas. He's going to make that life complete again. He's going to cut out all that is wrong. He's going to make you complete. And the idea here is that, what is the fishing net for? It's for a reason, right? Read on. What is your reason? What is your purpose? Make you complete in every good work. There is a good work that you are meant to do with your life. Different, maybe different people, we have different kinds of works that we're supposed to do. You're supposed to do something good with your life, but because the net is damaged, because of the things that are wrong in our lives, we can't do it. The Lord says, I will make that complete. I will make you complete in every good work, ultimately to do His will. You see, we're all meant to do the Lord's will, but our lives and all its problems greatly hinders us, makes us ineffective. The fisherman throws the net. The fishes go right through. Nothing is caught. This useless net. Most people will throw it away. Not the Lord. He looks at our lives and says, you know what? I'm going to repair the areas. I'm going to restore all those areas. Are there broken parts? Are there things that are not right? Are there areas that are super entangled? The Lord's not going to discard this away. You know what? He's going to make you complete. I really appreciate this idea. I do. Why? Because that's true. You know, in all our lives, what are we going to tell the Lord? Lord, I'm here, use me, you know, I'm perfect. Everything about me is just nice suited to do your will. That is nonsense. That's not true. In our heart of hearts, we all know that's not true. And there are areas in our lives that need to be changed. Things that need to be corrected. And the Lord says, I will do that work. I'm going to make you complete. But a net does not become repaired overnight. You know, it takes time. It takes time. So we read the next part of it. Working in you. The word working there has the idea of something that is being done over a process of time. In other words, the Lord's going to take some time. So we've been reading the book of Hebrews for 2 years. Life changed yet? Parts of your life mended yet? Perhaps not. Working. It takes time. It's going to take time. Not just 2 years. Maybe many more years. And many, many, many more years. It's going to take time. But the Lord's going to work with skill. And every net is different. Every net has its own problems. But the Lord's going to fix that up. And He's going to work in you. You see, that's what this prayer is all about. You recognize so many problems. But can the Lord still do that work? He will. You know, if we pray and if we ask Him, Lord, you make me complete. You make me complete so that I will be a useful thing. I will be a useful thing for you to do your will. I'll be a useful vessel. I'll be a useful instrument for you. I want to be useful. I want to do your will. I'm a fishing net. Let me be a fishing net. Let me catch fish. Let me catch men. Let me win people for the Lord. Whatever. You know, they're just... These are the things that the Lord can do. He's going to work in you until you are well-pleasing in His sight. You know, we don't often think of ourselves as well-pleasing to the Lord. I don't know about you. I don't. I don't often think of myself as well-pleasing to the Lord. Because we're aware, we're conscious of all the things that are there. But imagine this, the hope of the future. Right? If we were to ask the Lord, Lord, you complete me. You make me complete. You keep working in me. Year after year, you keep working. You keep doing this work in my life. You do this work in my life. One day, I'm going to be well-pleasing to God. People are going to be able to look at your life and say, the Lord did this work, didn't He? It's the Lord that made you complete, didn't He? It's the Lord that made you what you are, didn't He? You are well-pleasing to the Lord. You know what? That is the hope for the future. And this is what God can do. This is what the Lord will do in our lives. If. Okay? Why if? Because prayer without a response, frankly, is useless. Prayer without any action on our part doesn't work. It really doesn't work. If we have prayer on one hand, and we pray passionately, Lord, you make me complete, you work in me, and many more things that you ask the Lord. But down here, this is the response, and it is a kosong thing. You never do anything. This, the Lord will not hear. It's not that He cannot, He can, but He will not. because you're not doing anything about it. Okay, and that is why, as we come to the end of it, prayer, yes, but let's also consider the responses. Let's consider the important therefores in the book of Hebrews. There are many. There are many, many, many. But I'm just going to single out three. Okay, three important therefores to take away with you. Like, let your heart be challenged to respond. Let your heart be challenged to say, even as I pray, this is what I'm going to actively do about it. Okay, so let's look at this. The first part of it, consider the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has been the topic, the whole book. Every chapter is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Consider him. Consider his life. Consider his example. Consider his place in your life. Is he center? He's at the center of the book of Hebrews. Is he at the center of your life? Consider his example. Look, he was faithful. Right? Can I be faithful too? He was faithful all the way to the end. Can I be too? Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one. Number two. Can we draw near to God? This is a huge thing. Why? Because the way is open to come to the Lord. What the Lord Jesus Christ did as the high priest, his sacrifice, all of that was for one thing. You draw near to the Lord. If the way is open for us to go to God, but we don't go to God, then there's something seriously wrong. If the way is open for me to draw near to God, then here's what I want to do. I'm going to come near. I must come near. I will come near. I'm drawn to the Lord. A God of peace, yes. A God of great power. How much power would it take to change your life? Well, for the Lord, just what he does. Doing. That word doing is just the ordinary word. Just do. It's not even, there are two words. One is poieo, I just do. One is ergon, it's a work. Energeo, energy, with I work with energy. The work is just doing. For the Lord, just doing. Your life. Yeah, it can be done. There's abundant power to go around to change everybody's life. Yes, there is. A God of great power. I see myself, I'm drawn to him. So here's how I'm going to respond. The Lord Jesus Christ, in my life, I'm going to consider him. Number one. Number two, I'm going to draw near to the Lord. I will draw near to the Lord. Draw near to the Lord in prayer. Draw near to the Lord in my greatest difficulties. Draw near to the Lord in my greatest struggles. Draw near to the Lord when the tears come, and they will come. Why do you think the race of faith is called a race of faith? Why do you think endurance is needed? Because it's difficult. And there are times when you feel like you can't go on. Draw near to the Lord. And the third thing, which is a hugely important thing, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, we are all beginning in this race as young people. We're all beginning, all of us. There's a race set before us. It's a race of faith. It's a race where you decide that your life will be lived for the Lord. And that part of you must say, you know what? I'm going to endure. Because the difficulties will come. The challenges will come. The problems that will plague your life. There will be things that will come. Things out of your control. Do you have it in you to say, I'm going to endure? Do you have that faith in you that tells you, you know what? By faith, I will run this race. I will endure. Three responses for you to consider. Prayer. Response. At the end of it all, can we be people well-pleasing to the Lord? Can we be people found doing his will? So that when we look back on this race of faith and race of life, we say, Lord, indeed, I have run this race. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith all the way through. This is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful. I'm gonna be faithful too. This is the way to God. This is the path that I can draw near to God. I'll take that path. And here's this last part of it. You've got to endure. It's going to be hard. Life is going to be hard. Uni, move on to the next year. Some of you are going to go and work already, isn't it? Right? Some of you are going to finish your army. Some of you just entered army. So, but in every case, you're going to have to endure. But I'm going to challenge you. Will you think about one, two, three? Pray. but respond. And we see our lives changed by the Lord. That is the most important thing. It is not about, I remember every single thing in the book of Hebrews. How can it even be possible unless you read it 10 times? And even if you read it 10 times, you still can't remember everything. Every detail. What's said in chapter 6, verse 3? I don't know, okay? Right? You can't remember everything, but the point of it all is that your life must be changed by it. And my life must be changed by it. And student Pastor Penko's life has to be changed by it. And here's the hope. If you will pray, right? If you will pray, because you so need the Lord in your life. But don't stop at prayer. Respond. 1, 2, 3. Responses. If this can happen, you know what? Bethany's Fall is coming up. There are areas of work. There's a lot of good work that you need to do. There is the Lord's will to be done, waiting to be done, waiting for us to fulfill. But unless we pray, unless we respond well, you know what? If we do that, we're going to see ourselves able to fulfill God's will in our lives, for Bethany 4 and beyond. And that is the challenge for us young people as we come to the end of the book of Hebrews. It's not about you. It's not about all the things that are not right with who you are. It's about God, who He is, the God of peace, a God of great power, unimaginable power. You can't even begin to describe what kind of power that is, a power that raises Christ from the dead. It's about what He promised to do. I'm going to make you complete. I understand that there's things that are not right. Then the Lord's going to work. And He's going to continue to work over time. So we're not expecting, you know, next day everything, suddenly you are Superman. It doesn't work that way. So over time, the Lord's going to work in your life. At the end of it all, you're going to be well-pleasing to Him. And this is the hope for the future. This is our faith. This is our hope. And with this hope, with this faith, we see the race of faith, we run it, and we run it with endurance. And that to me is, you know, the best way to end, with prayer. And with prayer comes a response. You know, as we come to the end of this series, you know, I thought about this very much, and a song came to mind. Okay? And the song speaks for itself. But I realize it's not just me, but a whole group of people that want to testify to you of this truth in their hearts. A whole group of people who believe that God will complete them, that God had begun a work in them, and God will complete them. No matter where you go next year, whether it's to other groups, whether you're going on to YAG, whether you're going to stop YPG, whether you're going to serve in other areas, it's fine, it doesn't matter. But what matters is this. The Lord's going to complete this work. I'm going to pray, I'm going to respond. And I'm going to see my own life transformed by the Lord. You know, that must be our hope. Okay, I'm going to ask that group to come up. Okay, which is our comm, to come up. And let's sing this. If you want to join us, please feel free. But we're going to sing this song because we really believe in it. Until you become that well-pleasing person in the Lord's sight. Okay, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to you with hearts that are grateful because you do this work in our lives. And we look at our lives. Sometimes we don't have a lot to offer you. We feel useless, ineffective. Perhaps we have not done what we have sought to do this year. And yet here is an offer that you make to us to complete us and to keep working in our lives until we are well-pleasing in your sight. We give thanks to you and we give praise to you for the God that you are. And we ask that you will grant us grace to respond to you in every way, in the best ways. We pray and ask that you would continue this work in our lives this year, next year, and in the many, many years that are ahead of us. We pray and ask for these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.